possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
America.
I am not a number. I am a free man.
Wiggins America.
The only thing I'm going to need from you guys right now is a cup of coffee.
Wiggins.
Today's global economy waits for no man.
America.
Today's global business climate is like,
whatever, dude.
Hey! Politics is a dirty game. I'm not sure we want to play.
There are forces here at work that you couldn't possibly understand.
You have no idea how high up this goes.
Welcome to Wiggins America.
Here we are again. Welcome to Wiggins America, where the news cycle is the same as it has been pretty much for the last month. And that is not always a bad thing. So welcome to the show. We are going to cover these things, but with maybe a little bit of different perspective. It's like the border. Look, if we're talking about campus protests, we've been talking about campus protests for Palestine slash Hamas slash Gaza, whatever, for at least a month. The protests have been going on for longer than that, but they have become the big story for at least a month now. We're talking about Trump lawsuits. That's been a story for way longer than the last few weeks, but it's been one of the top stories of the last few weeks. Again, same with the border. It's the same story because nobody's fixing it. So, in light of that, I want to tell you a little bit about these protests, maybe in a way that we haven't talked about before. Because you're watching this, America's watching this. I really do believe America is shaking its head at this, but there is something good that's coming out of this. Bear with me here. As we're seeing this happen, it's like watching the veil being pulled back from what we've been saying all along. So if conservatives have been saying, look, the far left, maybe not your uncle who's a union Democrat, although unions are moving very, very far to Trump. I don't know if they're Republican yet, but they certainly have moved to Trump. But your random person who's a traditional Democrat voter, I'm not talking about that person. I am talking about the far left, which drives the party. And the left would probably say the far right drives the conservative, the Republican Party, whatever. But if you're talking about the far left, which we are in these campus protests, I mean, this is like the far left of the far left, and then a bunch of random college kids who want to be a part of something. It's two different groups, and it's paid groups in some ways, but there are a lot of people there who don't even really know what they're talking about. Listen to last week's show if you want to hear one of those protesters interviewed who doesn't even know. She was at NYU, and she goes, oh, we came over here because we heard, like, there's a lot happening, basically. What are we protesting? I don't even know. Talks to her friend. What are we protesting? I don't even know. Now, they knew they had something to do with Palestine, and that they were going to, like, chant a few things, but that was it. Well, I got another one of those clips for you. But again, the big theme here is that there is something good coming out of these protests. It's that we, who have been saying, look, the left has lost its mind, here's what they actually believe, and really talking to a lot of centrist Democrats and saying, don't vote for this. This is what they're going toward. But centrist Democrats would not listen because if we said they're communists, you'd say, no, they're not. They just like big social safety nets. You know, we'd say they're racists. They're actual racists. No, they're not. The right is the racist. I was told that. I've watched TV. I saw black and white footage of white people yelling at black people going to desegregated schools. So the right is, by the way, I wonder what party those people were. I mean, that's a little bit beside the point, but if you're talking about a white Southern racist in the 1950s, what party do you think they were? Again, beside the point. But we could say all day, these people are, they're communists, they're racists, they hate capitalism, they hate America, they hate really everything we stand for. The centrist Democrat would say, no, 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 no. That's not really true. They're radicals, but I was a radical once too. I was a radical in the 70s. I had long hair, and I wore very loose clothing. And my sexual mores were different from the time. Well, yeah, but that was a different time. You realize that things have moved now, right? What we're seeing now is a peek behind the curtain of what the far left really does believe. They believe in racism when it supports their cause. They're yelling things that are very racist, and it's okay because they're Jews. It's like, well, you know. So we're talking about spiritual things here, ultimately. They hate capitalism. They do love communism. They want everybody to be equal, even though they don't understand that it doesn't work that way, because most of them, especially the college kids, have not been alive long enough to see real communism in practice, like in the USSR. They love to hate America. And that's kind of the last thing I'll say here about it before we get to the clip, that chanting death to America is not just a random faction within these groups. They hate America. It's not really just about, and these for all these protests, it's not just about Gaza. This is about the systems that support these things. They want to destroy all of them. Now, let me set this clip up a little bit. This is a girl, and I don't know if she was chosen to be the spokesperson for this or if she just walked up to the podium where there were some microphones and she started speaking. I don't really know. But she definitely made herself the spokesperson for a group that is protesting on campus. Now, I want you to hear what she says, and then I'll give you the context of what she's saying.
Well, first of all, we're saying that they're obligated to provide food to students who pay for a meal plan here.
But you mentioned that there was a request that food and water be brought in, unless I misunderstood.
To allow it to be brought in. I mean, well, I guess it's ultimately a question of what kind of community and obligation Columbia feels it has to its students. Do you want students to die of dehydration and starvation or get severely ill, even if they disagree with you? If the answer is no, then you should allow basic, I mean, it's crazy to say because we're on an Ivy League campus, but this is like basic humanitarian aid we're asking for. Like, could people please have a glass of water?
But they did put themselves in that.
So the reporter goes on to say, you know, you put yourselves in the situation. So if you don't know what this is, she is speaking on behalf of a bunch of protesters, and it was quite a few of them, who went into a college campus building and barricaded themselves in protest. So this was their protest, that they were going to take over a government building, essentially, and they were going to occupy it illegally until they got, I don't know what, again, back to the original point that most of these people don't even really know what they're doing, but they are making a lot of waves. This is their demands, that they be allowed to get food and water, and that the campus is actually engaging in some sort of like international war crime by not allowing them to be fed and brought DoorDash, essentially. Because the police were stopping anybody from bringing them supplies. Why would you bring supplies to what would almost be considered insurrectionists? I mean, they're barricading themselves into government buildings, or at least buildings that are subsidized by the government, and making demands. And again, we're back to the original point here. None of this really makes any sense, because what's the end goal? And also, they are so entitled. I guess this is one that I would add to, hey, they're actually communists. No, they're not. Hey, they're actually racist. Oh, no, they're not. They hate America. No, they don't. They're entitled also. And we've been saying that they actually love to be victims. And you centrist Democrats have been saying, no, they don't. They are victims. They don't love to be victims. They would never want to be a victim. We want to make sure that they're not victims. No, they actually like being victims. They have put themselves into situations over and over to be the victim. Well, why would they do that? Well, because there's power in it now. America has put on a pedestal victimhood in a way that none of us thought was even possible. It's actually pretty remarkable. The books that will be written about this era will go one way or another. They're either going to be, look how crazy it got there for a while before they snapped back, or look at what a dying dynasty looks like. I hate to say it, but that's the point we're at right now. We don't know which way this goes. I hope and pray it's the first one, that we find our way, because we're really on the precipice, and this stuff shows it. Back to the original point. This all is a peek behind the curtain of where we're at. And it ain't good. We'll stop there. Take a short break. We do have a full show. We're talking about these things, of course, but many, many others. We'll have Roy and Trisha both in. This is Wiggins America.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes, and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app, and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Epic views, waterfall mists,
summits, sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
Came across this article yesterday from The Federalist. They've actually done really good reporting on election integrity issues. And I think part of the reason is that they're not trying to pump out an article every day. You know, some people get really caught in that trap where it's just the news cycle. I know people who write news and it's a churn. You know, there are an X amount of articles that you have to produce per day. And then they kind of judge you on how many clicks you get per article. And you can be very, very successful and make some decent money doing it if you can churn out articles fast that get a lot of attention. But that means that articles like this sometimes don't get written because they're not fast. And really, really deep journalism is harder to do because of the churn. You don't have as much time to spend looking into things. And then once you do, sometimes they just get overlooked anyway. This article is kind of in the middle. This isn't like an expose, but it is pretty in-depth. It's called 10 of the Biggest Lies Democrats Tell About U.S. Elections, so you can identify and combat these mistruths. And the article is good, although some of the things, we'll jump in here in a second, but some of these things I don't agree with, some of them I do. And we'll start with number one, election integrity laws suppress voters. That is something the Democrats had been saying, although because of all the debunking that has happened, I think they've backed off of this a little bit, and the data shows that that's not true. So Georgia is the best example of that. They've passed more stringent voter ID laws, and the claim was that this was racist, which is amazing to say that if you're black, you can't get an ID. That is racist. But they said it anyway, and you remember the whole debacle about moving the All-Star game out of Atlanta because there was all this race. I mean, that was one of the stupidest. We might still be in one of the stupidest eras of American history with some of these things and the reactions that major institutions make. But I do believe that there's a little bit of a change happening with that, which is why I don't think this is one that you hear as much, that election integrity laws suppress voters, because the data shows that it's not true. Georgia is the best example. We've seen an election happen now. Actually, I think a couple elections, including special elections, where voter IDs did not suppress the votes at all, especially of minorities, and especially in areas that they were saying that they would. Number two, the 2020 election was the most secure in American history. That's one that I don't think is said a lot because it's so easy to debunk, but you have heard that a little bit. Number three, voter fraud doesn't exist. Now, this one I disagree with the premise that Democrats say that a lot. I actually have never heard anybody say that voter fraud doesn't exist. And I've had good conversations with some of my liberal friends about this, specifically after the 2020 election, not in the last couple months, but where they were saying, you know, a lot of the claims about voter fraud could be true, but they're waiting for the evidence. And at that point, you didn't have a whole lot. It's come out like as a trickle since then. But I just appreciate people who are willing to look at the evidence. I've still, though, never heard anybody say that voter fraud doesn't exist. Even those people that I had these discussions with who were leftists for sure said, of course, voter fraud exists. What their claim is, and still is, I think, at this point, is that there wasn't enough of it to swing an election to any candidate, let alone to Joe Biden, of course. That's what they say. And I think that that is a kind of a made-up talking point on our behalf. Hey, if I'm wrong, and you have friends that are saying this all the time, or you're seeing reports about it, let me know. At Radio Wiggins on Twitter. Number four, election workers are under siege. Yeah, I do hear this, that because the right is so obsessed with making sure that the elections are secure and they're willing to be election judges and poll watchers and things like that, which, by the way, even though we live in Missouri and Illinois here, we should still do this. We're not really on the radar as much where we're at, but it's still very, very important, especially for local elections and especially in the metro east of Illinois. But election workers are under siege. I do hear that. And that is ridiculous. It says, of course, these same doomsday predictions didn't materialize during the 2022 midterms. But that hasn't stopped the press from continuing to repeat the narrative that they have little evidence to support. And he actually cites some articles here to show that that is a talking point. Number five, ranked choice voting is fair. Now, this seems like a different issue to me. And this is a right-left debate that happens. Ranked choice voting is where you can vote for your preferred candidate. And then here's my number two and here's my number three. This is mostly pushed. Now, what I've seen from this is mostly pushed in states where one party has a lot of control and the other party wants to get some. So this would be mainly Democrats pushing this in Republican states. I don't see as much Republicans pushing it in Democrat states, but they would if they thought it would work, because it kind of opens up the box a little bit more to not the top candidate getting into office, especially if they have to reach a certain threshold. Number six, contingent electors are fake and unlawful. I'm really glad he's addressing this one because it needs to be addressed. It says, after Arizona Democrat Attorney General Chris Mays released an indictment alleging 18, this is recent, Republicans illegally participated in a so-called fake elector scheme, media hacks are once again using this dishonest terminology to characterize Trump's challenging of the 2020 election. But there's no such thing as fake electors, and the naming of contingent Republican electors, or really contingent electors at all, during the 2020 election was neither unprecedented nor unlawful. All of those things you can fact check are true. The process undertaken in states such as Georgia closely mirrored efforts taken during the 1960 presidential contest between John F. Kennedy and Richard Nixon. Now, the article doesn't go into that, but Hawaii was the main state at play in that 1960 election, and a lot of the precedents that we're talking about took place in that year in that state. Number seven, ERIC is nonpartisan. That is the electronical, there's a neat word, let's use that more often. The Electronic Registration Information Center, ERIC. And I'm going to trust the writer here because I don't know much about this. It says it's become a favorite tool of the Democrat election machine. So naturally, the media have rushed to smear its opponents as unhinged crazies, deceptively marketed to states as a means to keep voter rolls updated. ERIC is a widely used voter roll management system founded by far-left activist David Becker. So that's one that I'm kind of relying on the Federalist here to, because I haven't heard that talking point much, but you know, he's citing a whole lot of sources here, and so I'll say, okay. Number eight, mail-in voting is secure and reliable. This is one we've talked about many, many times. Of course, when you have less people overseeing the process of filling out the ballot, there is much more more opportunity for fraud, but that's not even the main thing. We always say that. The main thing is that when you have nobody overseeing ballots, you can just add ballots, and if you don't have signature verification, if you don't have a lot of verification along that process, then it's easier, much, much easier, to just add ballots. Number nine, Democrats are the party of democracy. I think we're getting a little away from the original headline here, but I've given many, many reasons why Democrats jokingly can be referred to as defenders of democracy. He's talking about that here, so we'll get to the last one. Number 10. Biden's federal election takeover is just a nonpartisan outreach effort. The seriousness of Executive Order 14019 cannot be overstated, signed by Biden in March of 2021, so pretty much right after he took office. The directive ordered hundreds of federal agencies to interfere in state and local election administration by using taxpayer dollars to engage in voter registration and get out the vote activities, a policy Congress never authorized. That one is a big deal. It says good government groups and conservative media has discovered that many of the organizations collaborating with the administration and getting federal funds are extremely left-wing. That needs to stop. That should be something that everybody would look at and say, yeah, that's hyper-partisan. That's not the, because that's my tax dollars, that's your tax dollars being used to push Democrat voters. That's not okay. We'll take a short break here. We do have old Roy coming in this hour, so stick around for that. This is Wiggins America. If you listen to Wiggins America with any regularity and you listened last week at about this time, I think it was actually in the next segment, I told you about how I was robbed. And it's a true story. I wanted to give you an update on that story, but I kind of did on the weekday show, on Annie Fry's show. So I'll let you hear that with the update on my robbery.
Wow, Wiggins America.
We moved my mother-in-law to Collinsville last weekend.
This is a real story. Okay. I was going to say, if it's made up, I wouldn't be so specific with the
We had to rent our U-Haul. We did the whole thing. It was last Saturday. We did pretty much the whole day. We get done using the U-Haul, unload the truck, and there was very little left in it. There was a box spring and a mattress that we were going to take back to our house just across town, and there was a dolly. We park it.
Like a little baby dolly?
No.
Oh.
No, that's what you'd think.
Parton?
No, this was a dolly that you use to move furniture.
Hand cart.
A hand cart, sure. Okay. A hand truck, as some people would say. So we were borrowing this from our neighbor. It wasn't the U-Haul one. And it's very specific. It's very old, green, kind of chip paint. He had some stuff on it. So we left the truck in the parking lot to go run to the store real quick. We run back out. We didn't look at the truck. Drive the truck home. Get home. The back door is open. The dolly is gone.
Oh.
The mattress and the box spring are still there.
Oh, bummer. Wait, you want to keep them?
We wanted to keep the mattress and the box spring. And the dolly, for that matter.
Yeah.
We get home and we go, oh no. First thought was, we accidentally left this back end open, and on the drive, the dolly fell out of the truck.
So you have to backtrack?
We started thinking, like, wait, no. I remember latching that thing before we left. We always do. So where in the world would this would have come open? Well, we think when we parked that truck, we think a homeless person saw that truck and thought, this is a truck full of stuff. I'm going to open it and steal from it. We assume what happened was they opened it, realized there was nothing in it, and took that dolly, just the dolly.
Why do you think it was a homeless person?
Because I saw a homeless person walking by it and
eyeing
it.
With a dolly?
No, I didn't see it with a dolly.
I would have led with that.
So we've retraced our steps to make sure it wasn't our fault, and we definitely would have seen the dolly fall out of this truck and cars going everywhere. It wasn't us. So we're 99% sure that it was stolen. We go to church the next day, and also I haven't told the guy whose dolly it was that it was missing. So we go to church the next day. There is a dolly, old chipped green paint, sitting at our church. And I thought, this is a modern day miracle. How did this thing show up
was
at our church?
Dolly? Is the same one?
That was the end of the story that I thought, oh, this is going to be it. I thought this would be a great story. And this is why I didn't tell it yet, because the ending is not as I would wish. I found out that was not that same dolly. It just happened to look like it. And I almost stole from my own church, taking that thing home. We did file a police report, and they said, yeah, it was probably a homeless person. We'll go look in the woods behind that store, and we'll probably find it.
They're not looking for your dolly. They're not looking for a homeless man or woman with a dolly.
They told That's you what we about were the told. Woods so that you would go look and find it.
That's what we were told. He said, I'll look sometime this week. So we'll see what happens. This drama is still unfolding.
You were right, Brad.
Yeah.
I do hope you find your dolly.
Thank you very much.
Are you going to feel bad if it's like if you misplaced it and you found it where you left it and you realized that it wasn't a homeless person?
I am going to feel really bad if that happened, but we're pretty sure that that is not what happened. The police officer, for what it's worth, told us that, yes, there are homeless people right behind that store. Yes, they are sleeping in tents behind that. And yes, they do steal. So my guess is that he said... He's like, I bet that they did. And one of the reasons he said he thought maybe they did is because he told them they had to move. So they took the dolly to move their stuff. Yeah.
It's like the gods gave them a moving truck and a dolly.
It's pretty amazing, isn't it? And they had to steal to get it. But hey, I guess if you're going to give it back, it would just be borrowing.
American media export. Wiggins America.
So that was on Tuesday. It's here now, the weekend again, and I thought by now maybe I would have that dolly back and give it back to my neighbor. but no such luck. Not yet, anyway. I'm still holding out hope, although the longer we get from it, now we're 2 weeks away. I don't know. I don't know if we'll see that thing again. Maybe one bright and sunny day, someone will stumble upon a green dolly in the woods behind that store, and I will see my dolly again. And then I will give it to my neighbor because it wasn't mine, and I feel really bad about that. All right, quick break. We'll be right back with Old Roy. Old Roy, I think it's been maybe a month since we had this conversation, this riveting conversation. And the big question was, is Trump the cool candidate?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember this?
I do remember.
And then I think right after that, we had another discussion that was pretty good about, is Trump, what was it? It was something like a big question like that. Oh, are we using Trump or is he using us?
Right, yeah.
You know, are we as conservatives using him to accomplish our goals? Or is he, as many liberals will say, like, he doesn't care about you. He's just using you for power, you know? So which one was it? So you can hear those discussions by getting the podcast. I'm sure they're labeled well enough that you can find those discussions if you're interested in them, because I thought they were pretty good. Here's another one of those big questions for you, though.
Okay.
Is Trump, in this election, the return to normal candidate?
Yes, I think the answer to that is yes. In a weird way, I wouldn't have put it like that, but you even hear some grumblings about that, of people saying like, we just kind of want it to go back,
yeah,
to what it was before Biden, and so by default that means that normalcy is what was happening under Trump, which. In a way, it was. I mean, the economy was good. There were no wars. That was, with all of the sideshows that were going on during his term, of them trying to undermine and undermine and undermine, yeah. The reality of day-to-day life was pretty normal.
It was good, and I agree. How bad does Biden have to be, or really any president, like take Biden out of it, how bad does any president have to be after 4 years of Trump, where it was just constant? Sideshows is a good word. It was like media-driven insanity.
Mm-hmm.
Because the actual boots on the ground was fine. Everything was fine. But the hype was insane.
Yeah.
And what they tried to do to cut his knees off, and the Russia collusion that made up this stuff, you know.
Right.
And the government trying to take him out. It was insane. And it felt like every day was crazy. But it was pretty great. Like, it was, yeah. It was normal. He kept the economy going past 8 years of growth. You know, it was like a bull market for way longer than it should have.
Yeah.
And that's why that's such an interesting question to me, because Trump is oddly, I think you'd agree with this too, though, he is a change candidate. So to have somebody who is a bulldozer, who is a change candidate, be your return to normal almost seems impossible.
Well, they never ran against what actually happened under his presidency. It was always, no, he's evil. He's terrible.
Yeah.
And then they would just lie. They would just say the exact opposite of what really was happening. But it wasn't really about, because Biden didn't campaign. He was in his basement the whole time. It was all about, you have to get rid of Trump. They didn't run against what people's lives were. Usually that's what happens, is, you know, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? But that never happened because they couldn't do that.
Yeah.
And what makes this unique is that we've already seen what he did. You know, that's never happened in our lifetimes, where you had four years, and then now you're running again 4 years later. We have a frame of reference to what,
and if we didn't, he would not be able to be that.
Yeah, the same as in a kind of, people will compare his first term kind of to the whole Reagan thing, but that was different. Reagan wouldn't have probably not gotten elected had Carter not been so bad.
Yeah,
and this is different because we saw what it could be, what it was. We tried something different for weird reasons and all of the other stuff that goes along with that whole election. But people are still young enough to remember what it was 4 years ago.
It's a so you mentioned that they ran really against him as a person.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take it a step further. I pulled up while you were talking a clip that I played from Joe Biden a couple weeks ago. It was amazing to me because when I heard it, I think it's maybe a little over a minute long. It's him.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at Bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With AllTrails, you can discover and experience the best of nature with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with AllTrails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Listen to Wiggins America with any regularity, and you listened last week at about this time. I think it was actually in the next segment. I told you about how I was robbed. And it's a true story. I wanted to give you an update on that story, but I kind of did on the weekday show, on Annie Fry's show. So I'll let you hear that with the update on my robbery.
Wow, Wiggins America.
We moved my mother-in-law to Collinsville last weekend.
This is a real story. Okay. I was going to say, if it's made up, I wouldn't be so specific with it.
So we had to rent our U-Haul. We did the whole thing. It was last Saturday. We did pretty much the whole day. We get done using the U-Haul, unload the truck, and there was very little left in it. There was a box spring and a mattress that we were going to take back to our house just across town. And there was a dolly. We park it.
Like a little baby dolly?
No.
Oh.
No, that's what you'd think.
Parton?
No, this was a dolly that you use to move furniture.
Hand cart.
A hand cart, sure. Okay. A hand truck, as some people would say. So we were borrowing this from our neighbor. It wasn't the U-Haul one. It was very specific. It was very old, green, kind of chip paint. He had some stuff on it. So we left the truck in the parking lot to go run to the store real quick. We run back out. We didn't look at the truck. Drive the truck home. Get home. The back door
is open. The dolly is gone.
Oh.
The mattress and the box spring are still there.
Oh, bummer. Wait, you want to keep them?
We wanted to keep the mattress and the box spring. And the dolly, for that matter.
Yeah.
We get home and we go, oh no. First thought was, we accidentally left this back end open, and on the drive, the dolly fell out of the truck.
Do you have to backtrack?
We started thinking, like, wait, no, I remember latching that thing before we left. We always do. So where in the world would this would have come open? Well, we think when we parked that truck, we think a homeless person saw that truck and thought, this is a truck full of stuff. I'm going to open it and steal from it. We assume what happened was they opened it, realized there was nothing in it, and took that dolly, just the dolly.
Why do you think it was a homeless person?
Because I saw a homeless person walking by it and
was
eyeing
it. Was it dolly?
No, I didn't see it with the dolly.
I would have led with that.
So we've retraced our steps to make sure it wasn't our fault, and we definitely would have seen the dolly fall out of this truck and cars going everywhere. It wasn't us. So we're 99% sure that it was stolen. We go to church the next day, and also I haven't told the guy whose dolly it was that it was missing. So we go to church the next day. There is a dolly, old chipped green paint, sitting at our church. And I thought, this is a modern day miracle. How did this thing show up
was
at our church?
Dolly? Is it the same one?
That was the end of the story that I thought, oh, this is going to be it. I thought this would be a great story. And this is why I didn't tell it yet, because the ending is not as I would wish. I found out that was not that same dolly. It just happened to look like it. And I almost stole from my own church, taking that thing home. We did file a police report, and they said, yeah, it was probably a homeless person. We'll go look in the woods behind that store, and we'll probably find it.
They're not looking for your dolly. They're not looking for a homeless man or woman with a dolly.
They told That's you what we about were the told. Woods so that you would go look and find it.
That's what we were told. He said, I'll go look. I'll look sometime this week. So we'll see what happens. This drama is still unfolding.
You were right, Brad.
Yeah.
I do hope you find your dolly.
Thank you very much.
Are you going to feel bad if it's like if you misplaced it and you found it where you left it and you realized that it wasn't a homeless person?
I am going to feel really bad if that happened. But we're pretty sure that that is not what happened. The police officer, for what it's worth, told us that, yes, there are homeless people right behind that store. Yes, they are sleeping in tents behind that. And yes, they do steal. So my guess is that he's like, I bet that they did. And one of the reasons he said he thought maybe they did is because he told them they had to move. So they took the dolly to move their stuff. Yeah.
It's like the gods gave them a moving truck and a dolly.
It's pretty amazing, isn't it? And they had to steal to get it. But hey, I guess if you're going to give it back, it would just be borrowing.
American Media Export. Wiggins America.
So that was on Tuesday. It's here now, the weekend again. And I thought by now, maybe I would have that dolly back and give it back to my neighbor. But no such luck. Not yet, anyway. I'm still holding out hope, although the longer we get from it, now we're 2 weeks away. I don't know. I don't know if we'll see that thing again. Maybe one bright and sunny day, someone will stumble upon a green dolly in the woods behind that store, and I will see my dolly again. And then I will give it to my neighbor, because it wasn't mine, and I feel really bad about that. All right, quick break. We'll be right back with Old Roy. Oh, I think it's been maybe a month since we had this conversation, this riveting conversation. And the big question was, is Trump the cool candidate?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember this?
I do remember.
And then I think right after that, we had another discussion that was pretty good about, is Trump, what was it? It was something like a big question like that. Oh, are we using Trump or is he using us?
Right. Yeah.
You know, are we as conservatives using him to accomplish our goals, or is he, as many liberals will say, like, he doesn't care about you. He's just using you for power, you know? So which one was it? So you can hear those discussions by getting the podcast. I'm sure they're labeled well enough that you can find those discussions if you're interested in them, because I thought they were pretty good. Here's another one of those big questions for you, though.
Okay.
Is Trump in this election
the return to normal candidate?
I think the answer to that is yes. In a weird way, I wouldn't have put it like that, but you even hear some grumblings about that of people saying, like, we just kind of want it to go back to what it was before Biden. And so by default, that means that normalcy is what was happening under Trump, which in a way it was. I mean, the economy was good. There were no wars. That was with all of the sideshows that were going on during his term of them trying to undermine. Yeah. The reality of day-to-day life was pretty normal.
It was good. And I agree. How bad does Biden have to be, or really any president, like take Biden out of it, how bad does any president have to be after 4 years of Trump, where it was just constant, sideshows is a good word, it was like media-driven insanity,
mm-hmm.
because the actual boots on the ground was fine, everything was fine, but the hype was insane.
Yeah.
And what they tried to do to cut his knees off and the Russia collusion that made up this stuff, you know.
Right.
And the government trying to take him out. It was insane. And it felt like every day was crazy. But it was pretty great. Like it was normal. He kept the economy going past 8 years of growth. You know, it was like a bull market for way longer than it should have.
Yeah.
And that's why that's such an interesting question to me, because Trump is oddly, I think you'd agree with this too, though, he is a change candidate. So to have somebody who is a bulldozer, who is a change candidate, be your return to normal almost seems impossible.
Well, they never ran against what actually happened under his presidency. It was always, no, he's evil. He's terrible.
Yeah.
And then they would just lie. They would just say the exact opposite of what really was happening. But it wasn't really about, because Biden didn't campaign. He was in his basement the whole time. It was all about, you have to get rid of Trump. They didn't run against what people's lives were. Usually that's what happens is, you know, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? But that never happened because they couldn't do that.
Yeah.
And what makes this unique is that we've already seen what he did. You know, that's never happened in our lifetimes, where you had four years, and then now you're running again 4 years later. We have a frame of reference to what.
And if we didn't, he would not be able to be that.
Yeah. The same as in a kind of. People will compare his first term kind of to the whole Reagan thing, but that was different. Reagan wouldn't have probably not gotten elected had Carter not been so bad.
Yeah.
And this is different because we saw what it could be, what it was. We tried something different for weird reasons and all of the other stuff that goes along with that whole election. But people are still young enough to remember what it was 4 years ago.
So you mentioned that they ran really against him as a person.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take it a step further. I pulled up while you were talking a clip that I played from Joe Biden a couple weeks ago. This, it was amazing to me because when I heard it, I think it's maybe a little over a minute long. It's him kind of ranting, which he gets into every now mm-hmm. and then. I mean, most of the time when he gives speeches, Joe Biden does, it's so bland, and he just sounds like a doddering old fool. I don't mean mm-hmm. to be mean, but when you listen to him speak, you go, this guy is not in control of really anything. Like, he's a shell of a person, let alone as a president.
Right.
But every now and then he gets going, whether they pump him full of something or the adrenaline kicks in. I don't know which it is. But it's amazing to me, in this one clip, you mentioned, like, oh, they just kind of made stuff up about him and said he was evil. And then there's certain things that they'd say, well, he does say this kind of thing, therefore he's evil.
Right.
And they're not wrong. Like, he has, like, some pretty extreme rhetoric for a president anyway. But a lot of the stuff that they do say about him, like, ongoing, is actually all made up.
Yeah.
And Biden, amazingly, when I heard this, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I think it's possible that 100% of the points he brings up in this minute are made up media things. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't even mention Russia collusion in this, because that's a major one.
Right.
They hit that for years, and they still will be like, ah, Trump and Russia are in bed. And you don't expand on that.
Right.
You don't have to. You've created it in the world, so now you can just say it and people assume it's true. Mm-hmm. This is full of things that are exactly that. Stuff that they at one point made up or spun that he said, like he mentions, oh, he said it's going to be a bloodbath if he right. doesn't win. He mentions that in this one. Well, that's the perfect example of taking a word that he uses, Trump, way out of context, because mm-hmm. he's talking about the bloodbath at the southern border that we're experiencing mm-hmm. with all the crime and the drugs and the fentanyl, whatever. So that's the perfect example, but they'll just run with it. It mm-hmm. doesn't really matter. Even after it's been pointed out that it's false,
right.
they'll just keep doing it. Check this out.
I have to say, there are a lot of things that Donald Trump has said and done that I find extremely offensive. But one that offends me the most is when he refused his president to visit an American cemetery outside of Paris when he was president. Why? He said that those soldiers who gave their lives were, quote, was his quote, suckers and losers. Suckers and losers, he said it. Who the hell does he think he is? Who does he think he is? These were heroes. These soldiers were heroes. Just as every American has served this nation. Believing otherwise, that alone is disqualifying for someone to seek this office. Thank God I wasn't standing next to him. As I've said, Donald Trump looks at the world differently than you and me. He wakes up in the morning in Mar-a-Lago thinking about himself, how he can help his billionaire friends gain power and control and force their extreme agenda on the rest of us. Listen to what he says. He says, quote, I'll be dictator on day one. Quote, I am your retribution. He promises, quote, a bloodbath if he loses. This guy denies January 6th. Listen. Listen to what he says. Because you know he means it. I wake every morning thinking about how to make life better like you do for working and middle-class families here in Scranton and all across the country.
So I went through that and just dinged the bell for mm-hmm. every one of the made-up narratives, because he's just repeating narratives
yeah.
that have been proven false. The big one there that he talks about is the, well, he was in France and he called American soldiers who died suckers and losers.
Yeah,
that came from an Atlantic article that nobody could ever corroborate who actually heard him say that. They just wrote it.
Right.
And so, of course, now that it's written, it doesn't really matter if it's true or not. He said it.
Yeah,
you know, that's a fact now. We can just run with it. This is years later. He's just repeating those things that are media narratives that have largely been disproven.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing, like you said, how much they're able to get away with that. And it's not just the media. This is the president of the United States repeating provably false things. The bloodbath thing,
mm-hmm.
the dictator on day one. Do you remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
He was on Sean Hannity, and everybody was, he was responding to people saying he's a dictator. And he goes, and Sean Hannity jokingly is like, are you a dictator or will you be? And he goes, well, only on day one when I open up the pipelines again.
Yeah.
So he was joking. I'm not really sure like what the point of the joke was, because you could do that as not a dictator.
Right.
But he's like saying, oh, well, for the first day, I'll be a dictator, just to, I guess, undo some of the dumb things that mm-hmm. the Biden administration has done. But the media narrative becomes that he said that he would be a dictator on day one.
Right.
Like, this stuff's obviously false, but they just don't care.
Right. Well, it's a tactic. You say it often enough, and it becomes true. And There's a clip out there of Nancy Pelosi. I forget what the context was. She's talking from a podium, so I don't know who she was talking to. But she describes that tactic of we feed
Yeah, yeah.
A headline.
There's a name for it, too.
Yes.
And I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, and then they use it, and then we can use that, the fact that
it's called the wrap-up smear.
That's it.
That was what it was.
Yeah, the wrap-up smear.
Yeah, you're right. I wish I had that handy, because that's an amazing clip.
And that's exactly what this is. But they not only were doing that stuff, they were just flat out saying, Biden said it a number of times, that, oh, the economy under Trump was so bad.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. How do you even, there's not even an article, well, there may be, I don't know. But I mean, to say that our foreign policy was terrible.
Yeah.
Coming out of, you know, Hillary Clinton, as Secretary of State, where it was a disaster, you're going to say that Trump's foreign policy and economy was bad.
It's to the point, we've said this 1,000 times, and I'll say this as the last thing in the segment because we got to wrap up, but at this point, whatever they say, and I'm not even going to define they because I think you know, mm-hmm. whatever they say is going to happen under a Trump presidency is exactly what they already are doing in some circumstances,
mm-hmm.
or they will do if they don't get their way.
Right.
Trump will likely not do anything that they're saying that he's going to do, but they will do those things.
Right.
And I never would have believed that it could be that brazen of a lie publicly, but it is that way now. So we'll wrap there and come right back with more Wiggins America.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Over, I think it's been maybe a month since we had this conversation, this riveting conversation. And the big question was, is Trump the cool candidate?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember this?
I do remember.
And then I think right after that, we had another discussion that was pretty good about, is Trump, what was it? It was something like a big question like that. Oh, are we using Trump or is he using us?
Right, yeah.
You know, are we as conservatives using him to accomplish our goals? Or is he, as many liberals will say, like, he doesn't care about you. He's just using you for power, you know? So which one was it? So you can hear those discussions by getting the podcast. I'm sure they're labeled well enough that you can find those discussions if you're interested in them, because I thought they were pretty good. Here's another one of those big questions for you, though.
Okay.
Is Trump, in this election, the return to normal candidate?
Yes, I think the answer to that is yes. In a weird way, I wouldn't have put it like that, but you even hear some grumblings about that, of people saying like, we just kind of want it to go back,
yeah,
to what it was before Biden, and so by default, that means that normalcy is what was happening under Trump, which. In a way, it was. I mean, the economy was good. There were no wars. That was, with all of the sideshows that were going on during his term, of them trying to undermine.
Yeah.
The reality of day-to-day life was pretty normal.
It was good, and I agree. How bad does Biden have to be? Or really, any president, like, take Biden out of it. How bad does any president have to be after 4 years of Trump, where it was just constant... Sideshows is a good word. It was like media-driven insanity,
mm-hmm.
because the actual boots on the ground was fine. Everything was fine. But the hype was insane.
Yeah.
And what they tried to do to cut his knees off and the Russia collusion that made up this stuff, you know.
Right.
And the government trying to take him out. It was insane. And it felt like every day was crazy. But... it was pretty great. Like it was normal. He kept the economy going past 8 years of growth. You know, it was like a bull market for way longer than it should have.
Yeah.
And that's why that's such an interesting question to me, because Trump is oddly, I think you'd agree with this too, though. He is a change candidate. So to have somebody who is a bulldozer, who is a change candidate, be your return to normal almost seems impossible.
Well, they never ran against what actually happened under his presidency. It was always, no, he's evil. He's terrible.
Yeah.
And then they would just lie. They would just say the exact opposite of what really was happening. But it wasn't really about, because Biden didn't campaign. He was in his basement the whole time. It was all about, you have to get rid of Trump. They didn't run against what people's lives were. Usually that's what happens is, you know, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? But that never happened because they couldn't do that.
Yeah.
And what makes this unique is that we've already seen what he did. You know, that's never happened in our lifetimes, where you had four years, and then now you're running again 4 years later. We have a frame of reference to what.
And if we didn't, he would not be able to be that.
Yeah. The same as in a kind of, people will compare his first term kind of to the whole Reagan thing, but that was different. Reagan wouldn't have probably not gotten elected had Carter not been so bad.
Yeah.
And this is different because we saw what it could be, what it was. We tried something different for weird reasons and all of the other stuff that goes along with that whole election. But people are still young enough to remember what it was 4 years ago.
So you mentioned that they ran really against him as a person.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take it a step further. I pulled up while you were talking a clip that I played from Joe Biden a couple weeks ago. It was amazing to me because when I heard it, I think it's maybe a little over a minute long. It's him kind of ranting, which he gets into every now mm-hmm. and then. I mean, most of the time when he gives speeches, Joe Biden does, it's so bland, and he just sounds like a doddering old fool. I don't mean mm-hmm. to be mean, but when you listen to him speak, you go, this guy is not in control of really anything. Like, he's a shell of a person, let alone as a president.
Right.
But every now and then he gets going, whether they pump him full of something or the adrenaline kicks in. I don't know which it is. But it's amazing to me, in this one clip, you mentioned like, oh, they just kind of made stuff up about him and said he was evil. And then there's certain things that they'd say, well, he does say this kind of thing, therefore he's evil.
Right.
And they're not wrong. Like, he has like some pretty extreme rhetoric for a president anyway. But a lot of the stuff that they do say about him, like ongoing, is actually all made up.
Yeah.
And Biden, amazingly, when I heard this, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I think it's possible that 100% of the points he brings up in this minute are made up media things. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't even mention Russia collusion in this, because that's a major one.
Right.
They hit that for years, and they still will be like, ah, Trump and Russia are in bed. And you don't expand on that.
Right.
You don't have to. You've created it in the world, so now you can just say it and people assume it's true.
Mm-hmm.
This is full of things that are exactly that. Stuff that they at one point made up or spun that he said. Like, he mentions, oh, he said it's going to be a bloodbath if he doesn't win. He mentions that in this one. Well, that's the perfect example of taking a word that he uses, Trump, way out of context, because mm-hmm. he's talking about the bloodbath at the southern border that we're experiencing mm-hmm. with all the crime and the drugs and the fentanyl, whatever. So that's the perfect example, but they'll just run with it. It mm-hmm. doesn't really matter, even after it's been pointed out that it's false.
Right.
They'll just keep doing it. Check this out.
I have to say, there are a lot of things that Donald Trump has said and done that I find extremely offensive. But one that offends me the most is when he refused his president to visit an American cemetery outside of Paris when he was president. Why? He said that those soldiers who gave their lives were, quote, was his quote, suckers and losers. Suckers and losers, he said it. Who the hell does he think he is? Who does he think he is? These were heroes. These soldiers were heroes. Just as every American has served this nation. Believing otherwise, that alone is disqualifying for someone to seek this office. Thank God I wasn't standing next to him. As I've said, Donald Trump looks at the world differently than you and me. He wakes up in the morning in Mar-a-Lago thinking about himself, how he can help his billionaire friends gain power and control.
and forced their extreme agenda on the rest of us. Listen to what he says. He says, quote, I'll be dictator on day one. Quote, I am your retribution. He promises, quote, a bloodbath if he loses. This guy denies January 6th. Listen. Listen to what he says. Because you know he means it. I wake every morning thinking about how to make life better like you do for working and middle-class families here in Scranton and all across the country.
So I went through that and just dinged the bell for every one of the made-up narratives, because he's just repeating narratives that have been proven false. The big one there that he talks about is the, well, he was in France and he called American soldiers who died suckers and losers.
Yeah,
that came from an Atlantic article that nobody could ever corroborate who actually heard him say that. They just wrote it.
Right.
And so, of course, now that it's written, it doesn't really matter if it's true or not. He said it.
Yeah.
You know, that's a fact now. We can just run with it. This is years later. He's just repeating those things that are media narratives that have largely been disproven.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing, like you said, how much they're able to get away with that. And it's not just the media. This is the president of the United States repeating provably false things. The bloodbath thing, the dictator on day one. Do you remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
It was, he was on Sean Hannity and everybody was, he was responding to people saying he's a dictator. And he goes, and Sean Hannity jokingly is like, are you a dictator or will you be? And he goes, well, only on day one when I open up the pipelines again.
Yeah.
So I, you know, I mean, he was joking. I'm not really sure like what the point of the joke was, because you could do that as not a dictator.
Right.
But he's like saying, oh, well, for the first day, I'll be a dictator, just to, I guess, undo some of the dumb things that the Biden administration has done. But the media narrative becomes that he said that he would be a dictator on day one.
Right.
Like, this stuff's obviously false, but they just don't care.
Right. Well, it's a tactic. You say it often enough, and it becomes true. And There's a clip out there of Nancy Pelosi. I forget what the context was. She's talking from a podium, so I don't know who she was talking to. But she describes that tactic of we feed a headline.
There's a name for it, too.
Yes.
And I don't remember what it was.
Yeah. And then they use it, and then we can use that, the fact that
it's called the wrap-up smear.
That's it.
That was what it was.
Yeah, the wrap-up smear.
Yeah, you're right. I wish I had that handy, because that's an amazing clip.
And that's exactly what this is. But they not only were doing that stuff, they were just flat out saying, Biden said it a number of times, that, oh, the economy under Trump was so bad.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
how do you even, there's not even an article, well, there may be, I don't know. But I mean, to say that our foreign policy was terrible.
Yeah.
Coming out of, you know, Hillary Clinton, a Secretary of State, where it was a disaster, you're going to say that Trump's foreign policy and economy was bad.
It's to the point, we've said this a thousand times, and I'll say this as the last thing in the segment because we got to wrap up, but at this point, whatever they say, and I'm not even going to define they because I think you know, whatever they say is going to happen under a Trump presidency is exactly what they already are doing in some circumstances, or they will do if they don't get their way.
Right.
Trump will likely not do anything that they're saying that he's going to do, but they will do those things.
Right.
And I never would have believed that it could be that brazen of a lie publicly, but it is that way now. So we'll wrap there and come right back with more Wiggins America.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery, though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.